Welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast from the Praxis Centre for Hope and Activism. We are all about exploring our role in God's mission to bring hope and transformation. Hello and welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast. I'm Abby Thomas and I'm joined today by activist and student Bonte Uwimana, who is bringing us a special reflection for Good Friday.
The Easter story for me has always been one which I loved so much and loved to celebrate. Obviously, it is the crux of our faith and something that we come back to so often in church and in reading scripture. But throughout my 20 years of life and Sunday school and church and Easter celebrations, this story began to have somewhat of a lullaby effect on me, similar to the Christmas story. I would often find myself skimming past it in my reading of scripture, often thinking, oh, I know this bit and I know this story, I know these verses off by heart. This all changed for me last year mid-lockdown, as we obviously had so much more time. I found myself managing to get into scripture more and reading these stories more. My family and I were part of this really exciting devotional every morning. I think it was at 7 a.m. and we just walked through the Holy Week story together with friends and family from all over the world. This was just so powerful for me because it allowed me to rediscover the beauty and the wonder of this story. And at the same time as doing this devotional, I was also watching the program called The Chosen, which is on YouTube. This program walks through Jesus's ministry and just gave me a really helpful setting for these stories, especially the Good Friday story. I would just love to share with you some of the gold nuggets that I wrote down in my journals from that period of time. And I hope you too will rediscover some of the same beauty and wonder that God had for me as I got back into these stories. I want to go back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, as we start to look at how Good Friday and that story plays into God's plan of salvation and redemption for humanity. In Genesis 3, 23 and 24, we've just seen Adam and Eve banished from the Garden of Eden to work the ground. In that verse, we hear that on the east side of the garden, cherubim and a flaming sword are put in place to guard the tree of life. Theologians have come to the conclusion that the flaming sword represents God's justice. Adam and Eve are banished from the garden until someone or something can reverse the effects of the fall and the sin that they have seen in their lives. From this moment onwards, no one can enter into the presence of God in the same way Adam and Eve could in the garden. The sword of justice is guarding the way to life in all its fullness, which we know is in God's presence. God longs for his creation to return to its purpose, but his justice must be satisfied before that can happen. From here, we see God begin his long plan of salvation to undo the fall. Throughout the Old Testament and the New, we see him calling people to himself, asking for obedience and loyalty. For this story, we fast forward right into the New Testament and the Gospel accounts, where we hear that God was dwelling in the temple. His fullness was veiled and the curtain in the temple separated him from us. I heard recently that the curtain was 9 centimetres thick. My friend Craig, when we were doing the devotionals, put it in this really beautiful way. He said that at this time, God wanted out. He wanted us in and he wanted in us. This was always his plan. And as we know, he sent his very own son to undo the sin which has entangled both Adam and Eve and all of mankind. In Gethsemane, we see Jesus obeying the will of his Father under such intense pressure. As Jesus obeys where Adam disobeyed, we begin to see the fall undone, but he still has the sword of justice to face. This is a journey that he has to go on alone. I think it's really cool the parallels that are drawn up here between Adam and Jesus. I think people often call Jesus the second Adam or this perfect version of Adam. We see both of them in gardens, one of them disobeying God and one obeying. When we see Jesus completely consecrate himself to his Father's will, as he picks up his cross and voluntarily walks towards death. As Jesus hangs on the cross, we see so many prophecies fulfilled. I have this really cool book that's called the Infographic Bible, which has this huge page of prophecies from the Old Testament and then draws a line to where they come into fruition in the New. At the ninth hour on the 14th of Nisan, which is actually the exact time in the Passover festival that the lamb is sacrificed, which is also amazing, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Father turns his back on his Son who has voluntarily become sin. He is forsaken so we never have to be, and the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus' life is not taken from him. I think it's important to remember that he gives it away freely as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to his Father. When Jesus breathes his last, he walks straight into the sword of justice. When he dies, the justice of God is thereby satisfied. The sword is gone and there is access to the tree of life. The gates of eternal life are open to humanity. The people of this time would have been looking for signs of this. At the moment Jesus died, the curtain in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. The veil that has kept God in and us out is gone, and God is out on the loose, seeking those who he's going to call to himself. And we see that really beautifully demonstrated in the Roman centurion who comes to God in the moments after Jesus is dead. So exciting that we get to be proclaimers and ambassadors of this crucified king who gave everything so that we could have his everything, his relationship with the Father. I think we so often get so excited about Resurrection Sunday as we should and rush towards it. But I really think it's important to sit for a moment in the grief and darkness of this day when death thought it had won and had its moment. Lots of people in our world continue to sit in that grief and in that darkness of death without any realization that Sunday is coming. Although we have hope in what we know is coming on Sunday, it's important to remember that our King descended into the hardest and darkest place of hell. He planted himself in death so that fruit would come and the church would prevail. And here we are 2,000 years later. We are also asked to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, go to the darkest places, the furthest out places, and make it known that Jesus is Lord. For some people in some countries, picking up their cross and denying themselves can end up in death. But for many of us in the UK, what it looks like to pick up our cross and deny ourselves involves sacrificing the comfortable and easy lifestyle that so many of us have. Going into the darkest and hardest places of our world and making disciples. We are called to imitate this Jesus who sacrificed for the people he loved. We are called to go to these places, make Jesus known, and remind people that Sunday is coming, that the resurrection is coming, and that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that is Jesus. It's important to remember the challenge and the call of this story. As we are disciples of Jesus, we are also called to go out and make more and go into these hard places, deny ourselves, pick up our crosses, and follow him.